Amen. What a tremendous song that is. Amen. Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, once again looking at the end is coming. Matthew 24 and verse 32. The end is coming. Amen. Amen. Hey, Brother Spencer, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Matthew 24 and verse 32. The Bible says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is what? Near, even at the doors." So what do we mean by the end is coming? Once again, we're talking about the rapture. That's the next thing on the scriptural calendar, the rapture taking place, the catching away of the saints. After that, a seven-year time of tribulation will start. The midpoint of that tribulation, the Antichrist will break his covenant with Israel, set himself up as God in the temple. Israel was going to have to flee for their lives. And that last 3.5 years is known as the Great Tribulation. At the end of the tribulation period, the saints, that's us, come back with the Lord down to the earth, and he will set up his earthly kingdom for 1,000 years. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, he's loosed to tempt and try those that dwell on the earth. And he'll gather them together. It's just amazing, hard to understand. But after living under the perfect rule of Jesus Christ for 1,000 years, people will turn after Satan as the sand of the sea and rebel. The Lord will be the victor of that battle. There will be the great white throne judgment. The Lord will destroy this heaven and earth. And Revelation 21, he'll create a new heaven and a new earth. No more sea at that point, and so then it'll be the eternal state. So that's what we're talking about. We see all these things happening. That remember what we saw this morning? God reveals these secrets to his prophets. Why? Because he cares about all people. He wants them to be saved. So we've seen the end is coming. What have we seen? We've seen a famine of the word of God is coming. We can see that. There is the tremendous censoring of material right now, trying to shut down conservative and religious things. Whether it's online, the news media for the most part is just like when I was a boy. In the Soviet Union, the media in the Soviet Union was just state-run media, and that's about what we have today. It's amazing what we're seeing. They just simply will not report many times on truly important things that are happening and righteous things. So a famine of the word of God, we see it coming. The rise of sodomy, we see it coming. The charismatic movement preparing people to look for signs and wonders instead of to the word of God. We see that's here. Number four, control over buying and selling. We saw that this morning. Now, number five, lovers of self. Lovers of self. Notice with me in 2 Timothy 3, and we sure see this coming and is here. Lovers of self. Now, you know, we've been up to Mackinac Island many times with the family. I don't know how many pictures I have of the Mackinac Bridge. Somebody asked, why do you keep taking pictures of the bridge? I don't know. Maybe I need one from every year. I'm not sure. But we go up to Mackinac Island, and sometimes as a family when we've been up there, I'll be taking a picture of my family, and sometimes some other people would say, hey, would you like us to take the picture? And so I would jump into the picture. I'm missing on a lot of the pictures of our vacations. Someone has to take the picture. Well, they've cured that today with what? Selfies. The first time I saw a selfie take place was in the parade in Belding. This has been quite a few years ago. But it was one of the meteorologists from Grand Rapids on one of the local stations. And someone wanted their picture with him. And so what did he do? He stuck a telescoping rod out the end, the window of the vehicle he was in with his cell phone on it. And so he had the person come up by him. And so he's taking his own picture, you know, with his phone, with that contraption. That's the first time I ever saw a selfie take place. But truly, it is a selfish generation. And it's, I'm not trying to say that it's evil to take a selfie picture, but I'm just saying it just pictures so much of today. It's like, don't need anybody else. I can take it myself. You know, and people do. And many people have died taking selfies and dangerous things that they're trying to do. But 2 Timothy 3 in verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, 1. This is a true saying. If a man, oops, I'm in the 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 3. I'll get there. This know also that in the last days, what will happen? Perilous times shall come. For men shall be what? Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. As I read down through there, my mind is rolling through all these different kinds of things I've read, even just this week, about these. I see so many of these things coming to pass right now. Well, let's go back to verse 1. This know also that in what? The last days, perilous times shall come. Last days. A Strong's Concordance defines the word last there as final, end, latter end. The Greek word for this is eschatos. I don't know if you've ever heard the word eschatology, but if you've ever done a study in eschatology, it's the study of last things. If you ever sign up for a course for eschatology, you're signing up for a course dealing with the book of Revelation. You're signing up for a course dealing with the rapture, the tribulation, the millennium, all these last things. That's where we get our English word, is from this, eschatology. So, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous. Strong's defines that as difficult, dangerous, furious. This word is only used twice in the New Testament. Here, and one other passage we're going to turn to, if you hold your place here, let's go to Matthew 8. Matthew 8, 28. This is the only other place this word is used in the Bible. And we're talking about perilous times. Matthew 8 and verse 28. Matthew 8, 28. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding what? Fierce, the same word, so that no man might pass by that way. Perilous times are fierce, exceeding. Here it says exceeding fierce. These two demon-possessed men were exceeding fierce. I wonder how much of this anger all around us today is from demon possession. I don't know. But demon-possessed people, we see many times in the scripture, are fierce, and here's one example of it. This is the only time this word appears. But notice in Isaiah chapter 14, Isaiah 14. And of course, demons, what we call demons, the Bible refers to as spirits or unclean spirits or devils, it sometimes calls them. Isaiah 14, we are talking about fallen angels, demons, unclean spirits, devils, are all fallen angels. Isaiah 14, 12. The Bible says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" Where did he get that name? Well, this is the name God gave to him. Lucifer means bright one. Lucifer means shining one. God created a cherub angel, Lucifer, the bright, shining one. Where did he get these names then? Devil, Satan, dragon. Well, those are all names he got from his evil character when he sinned. But here, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. He kind of sounds like a politician, doesn't he? Wanting all the glory. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down where? To hell, to the sides of the pit. So, fallen angels, that's what demons are. Satan fell and many angels with him. Angels have great strength. Notice in Psalm 103, you know, these people that talk about, yeah, I told the devil where to go. How foolish. In our physical strength, the devil could crush us just like he desired to do to Peter, remember? Satan hath desired you to sift you as wheat, Peter, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. That's what Jesus told to Peter. Peter kind of fluffed it off. Yeah, I'll never forsake you, Lord. I'll never betray you. I'll never turn against you. Oh, is that so, Peter? Well, before the cock crows, before the rooster crows, before it gets to even daylight, Peter, you're going to have denied me three times. And that's exactly what he did. Oh, we are so foolish when we think we can tell the devil what to do. Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his what? His angels. That what? Excel in strength. Do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Now, this specifically referring to God's angels, the good angels. Normally, what we call angels are the angels who have not fallen. We don't normally call the bad angels angels because they're fallen angels. We call them demons. But they're strong. And there's no indication that any strength has been taken from them just because they have fallen. And of course, they cannot do anything God doesn't allow them to do. But let's look at their strength. Mark 5. Mark chapter 5. They're strong. Mark chapter 5 and verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, this is referring to Jesus, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. So that's a demon who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. And the chains had been what? Plucked asunder by him. And the fetters what? Broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. You bind this man with chains, metal fetters. And what did he do? He broke them. He broke them all apart. That's the demonic strength that was shown. And you know, unsaved people should be so fearful. Look in 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. You know, unsaved people have that attitude many times, like, yeah, no one tells me what to do. I do what I want to do. Well, they're foolish also. 2 Timothy 2:25. 2 Timothy 2:25, the Bible says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of what? The snare of the devil. A snare is a trap. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at what? His will. There's a lot of talk today about trafficking. Children that are trafficked. Children that are kidnapped and trafficked. Sometimes in this country, sometimes in other countries. There's much talk today about women that are trafficked. Boys that are trafficked by the sodomite group. Well, let me tell you something. Every unsaved person, before they accept Christ as their Savior, verse 26, they can be taken captive by Satan at his will. You talk about trafficking. Look at all of the people that are being trafficked by Satan on drugs. I mean, their lives, they're slaves to alcohol. They're slaves to their drugs. They're slaves to their immorality. They are being trafficked by Satan, and they think all along, oh, I'm free to do what I want to do. They're slaves. Notice in John chapter 8, they are slaves and do not know it. John chapter 8 and verse 34. John 8, 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is what? The servant of sin. I don't know where I was. Was I in a store somewhere? But I must have been in a store somewhere when they was playing the music. But this guy was saying, he was saying, I'm a smoker, I'm a joker. And then that's because those two words rhymed, I just kept hearing it. And he just kept singing it over and over. And then with other words. Another part was I couldn't catch the word that was rhyming to it. But one part he says, I'm a sinner, I'm a something else that rhymed with that. And just over and over and over. You know what? He is just mocking righteousness, mocking God, mocking those things that he thinks are free. He thinks he's free. It's like, nobody's going to tell me I can't smoke. Nobody's going to tell me I can't do this or that. He's just mocking the idea. Nobody's going to tell me I can't sin if I want to. He thinks he's free, but what is he? The guy's being trafficked by the devil, and he doesn't even know it. He's a servant. He's a slave to sin. So when it comes time to demons or the devil, you know what? Let's look at the Bible example. We in our flesh do not tell the devil what to do and where to go. Notice with me in Jude, the book of Jude. You can stay in chapter 1 if you'd like and go to verse 9. Jude, verse 9. Jude 9. Did you get that? Jude, verse 9. Okay. Yeah, Michael the archangel. Now, what did we see about angels? They excel in what? Strength. Yeah, Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Now, what happened to the body of Moses? Well, he died up on the mount, and what happened to him? God did what? God buried him. Now, if that's an indication about whether we should be cremated or buried, there's a good example. When God was in charge of a body, a dead body, what did he do with it? Moses' body, the Bible says he buried it. Now, could God have cremated that body? In a second. He's done it to people before. In a second, he could have turned Moses' body into ashes, but he didn't. He buried. But anyway, Michael is contending with the devil about the body of Moses. So the devil evidently did something to Moses' body. We don't know what. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him what? A railing accusation, but said what? The Lord rebuked him. So we're talking about Michael. We're talking about the one that is going to fight with the devil, and he's going to win. But here, he's disputing, contending with the devil about Moses' body, and he doesn't even accuse Satan of something that he is not personally aware of. He just says, the Lord rebuke thee. That is the example we should follow. We don't tell the devil where to go. Notice in Ephesians 6, we are so weak. compared to the strength of an angel. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 12, well, let's go to verse 10, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong, what? In the Lord, and in the power of what? His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. We need to follow the example of Michael the archangel. The Lord rebuke thee. Let's not be so foolish to think our words have any power to tell Satan what to do. Now, having said that, we don't have to go around in fear of Satan and demons. Notice in 1 John 4. 1 John 4. 1 John 4 and verse 4. The Bible says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is what? He that is in you than he that is where? In the world. So God indwells us as believers. So we don't have to walk around in fear of Satan or the demons. But let's just know that when there's a battle to take place, we need to rebuke them in the Lord. The Lord rebuke thee, not us. Well, what about that war that Michael's going to fight against the devil? Look with me, please, in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And verse 7, here's where the battle takes place. Revelation 12, 7. And there was war in heaven. And what? Who was there? Michael and his angels fought against who? The dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. And what? Prevailed not. Neither was there found any more place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Remember, we said that this event right here happens at the midpoint of the tribulation period. So right now, Satan can go back and forth to heaven just like in the days of Job. What was he doing? He was going forth accusing, falsely accusing Job. Satan's doing the same thing right now. And in verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the what? Accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God, what? Day and night. Wouldn't you hate to give ammunition to someone so evil? Yes. You know, we mess up and what happens? Satan runs and accuses us, and not just accuses, no doubt many times falsely accuses us. So let's not give him any ammunition to come before the Lord to accuse us. You know, even when Jesus was born, Satan was an adversary. Notice in Revelation 12, Revelation 12 and verse 1, right here. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. So what we see from verse 1, we're talking about Israel. The sun, the moon, and the 12 stars. The 12 children. The 12 tribes of Israel. So this child in verse 2, we're talking about she being with child travailing. Travailing, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. We're talking about the birth of Jesus. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to what? Devour her child as soon as it was born. You just stop back and think. We're talking about the birth of the Lord Jesus. No room at the inn. Born out in the stable, laid in a manger, an animal's feeding trough. And who's after him? Well, the wise men are trying to get to him. Herod hears about the king being born. And he wants to what? He wants to kill him. So Herod is being used of Satan. Satan's desire was, verse 4, was to devour this child as soon as it was born. Verse 5, and she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. That tells us it's Jesus. That's a prophecy of him. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. The resurrection there. So, and then this war in heaven. So what an adversary we face. But as we saw in 1 John 4, 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So if satanic activity increased at Jesus' birth and throughout his life, I mean, we read in the scriptures that people that were demon possessed were right in the Jewish synagogues. Now, so should we not then expect that the closer Jesus coming comes again? And of course, Satan does not know when Jesus is coming. None of the angels know. But as he perceives, just like we can see these things happening, don't you think that demonic activity is probably going to increase again? Yes, because he's going to try to draw people away from the Lord, thinking that he has a short time. So just the violence of Satan. Notice in Matthew 8, we're looking at the word perilous. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Can't you see this fierceness? And we'll look at that word in the future, Lord willing, in the same passage. But in Matthew 8:31, so the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran what? Violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. What a picture of demon-possessed people. They think they're free. They think they're having fun in their sin. They're running violently right down to their destruction is what they are doing. A demonic fierceness. You know, the sodomites today are crying out, people are bullying us. I talked to one right in Greenville, a transgender. And I mean, he actually was all teary-eyed because he's a man and he's pretending to be a woman and has had surgeries out in California and the whole nine yards. And he's putting on this front that he's being picked on because of what he's done to his flesh and the way of life he's chosen. Let me tell you something. Sodomites are fierce. Notice in Genesis 19. If you don't believe that, and I really wouldn't recommend doing this, but just try going to a sodomite parade, pride parade, and try preaching the gospel or holding up a sign about Christ saving and just see how you're treated. I have never done that. I don't know of any that's been here in Greenville, but I've talked to people that have done that, and those people are fierce. No different than in Genesis 19:4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. This is a sad verse. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. You men, can you imagine saying such a thing about your daughters to a bunch of vicious, immoral perverts like this? Can you imagine saying what Lot said about his daughters? I can't imagine what was wrong with him. Verse 9, and they said, stand back. And they said it again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be what? A judge. Oh, they love to use that today. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to what? To break the door. Oh, yes, they're just innocent people, the Sodomites, and everybody's bullying them and picking upon them. Don't believe that for a minute. They are vicious. They're all in favor of, what do they call that? Can't think of the term they call that. Diversity. They're all about diversity. Unless you are against them. And then they'll have none of it. It's like in Canada. They just made a law that it's legal to counsel somebody who is like God made them, male or female. It's all right to counsel them to become a Sodomite, but it's against the law in Canada to counsel them to become what God, the way God has made us. You read the law. You can go from natural God-given state to perversion. That's okay, but you can't go the other way. We talk about discrimination. So a demonic fierceness is coming over this world. It's from road rage. You know, when I was a boy, I never heard of things like this. Road rage? I mean, you cross someone with a traffic mishap of some sort, or you make them mad, you pull out in front of them, people are ready to fight. Tempers just flaring up in this day. Russia flaring up, China flaring up, North Korea flaring back up, Iran flaring back up. So what should we be doing? Well, Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13. What should we do? Well, I feel bad for the truckers in Canada, but it's like I said at the very beginning of that. I wish they would have prayed. I wish instead of just trying to block the city with their trucks and, you know, my heart goes out to them, what the Canadian government is doing. But when we're dealing with authorities, there's a right way and a wrong way. And you protest in that way against authorities, and they're going to use their power to come against you. I saw a little video online. The people were protesting. The police were trying to push them. And so they brought in their police on horses. And I mean, they just went right through the crowd to push them back. And someone has their phone out video in, and there's two people laying on the ground after they've come through with their horses. I don't know how bad they're hurt, but I know one thing, if a horse stomps on your head, it could easily kill you. There's a lot of weight there, but that's what happens. I wish those same 2 or 3 weeks would have been those 50,000 people on their knees, and I did see a video online of people in Canada finally on their knees. We can honk our horns, but a lot better to use our energy to be pleading with the Lord for deliverance. Zechariah 13 and verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the what? The unclean spirit to pass out of the land. Listen, there's something in Canada, and it's here, and it's every country of the world. It's the unclean spirit. Mr. Trudeau, I've seen pictures of him online. He's part of a big, long Sodomite rainbow flag going down the street. I don't know how many blocks long it was, and he's there with his big smile and also in his hand waving a Sodomite flag, half Canadian flag, half Sodomite, rainbow colors. Listen, how are you going to get to this guy? It's not going to be by blocking his palace, as it were, with trucks. It's going to have to be God that deals with that guy. He is doing Satan's bidding. He's pushing the sodomite agenda, as well as many leaders in our country as well. How do we get to him? Listen, we pray. We pray for God, as this says in verse 2, that he would cause the unclean spirit to pass out of our land. This demonic activity. I wonder tonight if we could see Washington, D.C. with our spiritual night vision goggles, and if there's ever been a night in America, it's now. If we had our spiritual night vision goggles, I wonder what we would see hovering above the White House and the Capitol building, the Senate chambers. I wonder if it would be angels or demons. I just have a feeling, the way so many of these leaders are, it'd be demons. Demons everywhere. Everywhere. I have a feeling that's what we need to pray. We can't protest. I hear there's different trucks on the way to Washington, D.C. What are you going to do? It'd be so much better to get all those Christians, two blood-washed, born-again Christians, on their knees praying. It goes back to Herod in the New Testament. The early church didn't try to bring him down. The early church is the one that got down on their knees, and God brought Herod down. He was eaten of worms and died because he gave not God the glory. So back in 2 Timothy 3, I know, my flesh gets into it too. I see these people protesting, and I know the flesh wants to do that. The flesh wants to hold up the signs and say, hey, what do you think you're doing? But this isn't the way to fight that battle. But I know. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, once again. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. We just talked about that. Violent times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Those five English words, lovers of their own selves, is a Greek word. Actually, it sounds like Mexican food. It's flautas. That's the Greek word, flautas. So I actually like flautas. But this here is not actually good. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's not good. And it's defined as fond of self or selfish. This is the only time in the Bible this word is used. The only time. And can't you see it happening? Men shall be lovers of their own selves. You see it happening all over. And that's going to be the attitude of the Antichrist. Notice in Daniel 11. Daniel 11, verse 36. Daniel 11 and verse 36. The Antichrist is going to be a lover of himself. Sometimes people say, do you think President Trump is the Antichrist? Or they used to say, do you think Henry Kissinger is the Antichrist? Or different people throughout history. No. When you read this, I think you'll understand that none of these people are. Daniel 11:36. The Bible says, and the king shall do according to his will. And he shall exalt himself and magnify who? Himself above every god. And shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. And shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard what? The God of his father. So, you know, sometimes people say, well, who is the Antichrist going to be? Well, when I see all this wording, it seems clear that the Antichrist is at least part Jewish. Now, he may be, you know, we see in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, we see Jews from all nations under earth, under the heaven. They come to Jerusalem. So, I mean, you have Jews in America, you have Jews in Brazil, you have Jews in Mexico, you have Jews in France. There are Jews scattered across the nations of the world. You have Jews in Russia. So, according to this wording, I believe that the Antichrist is going to be a Jewish person. And why not? Isn't Judas a type of the Antichrist, one that betrays Christ? Well, here's another one of those clues, I think. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of who? Of women. So this cannot be someone who's married. This person doesn't love women. He's too in love with himself. Doesn't that fit right along with sodomy? Yes, it does. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor desire, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God. Well, the Muslims aren't going to probably be too happy about that, because he's not going to worship Allah either. For he shall magnify what? Himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. And a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Who's he talking about here? The devil? The devil is who he's going to really worship. But he's all about himself. And then back in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2. So men shall be lovers of their own selves. And then it says covetous. We're given example of this same word in regard to the Pharisees. Notice with me in Luke 16. Luke chapter 16. The Pharisees are so much like the Antichrist. They were so content. They were so afraid that if Jesus rose up and the people accepted him, that the Romans would come and take away their place and their nation. They had it made. They were just using the people. Luke 16:10. The Bible says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, we're talking about money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were what? Covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Look in chapter 23 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 23 in verse 13. These men were covetous. Matthew 23, 13. The Bible says, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour what? Widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. This goes back to what we were talking about this morning. Is there more than one way to be saved? No, they need to hear about Jesus. Some people say all religions lead to heaven. Is that what Jesus said about them? No, verse 15. He said, you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he's made, you make him twofold more the child of heaven? Hell, it says, not heaven. You make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. No, all religions do not lead to heaven. All but one leads to hell. So covetousness, as the end comes near, we're going to see covetousness take over. Notice in Exodus 20, Exodus chapter 20. Do we not see it today? Is it not a temptation in our own flesh to covet things? I think about all of the technology. Now, does technology prove to be a temptation to covetousness? They're constantly coming out with new things. You know, every time an Apple phone comes out, it seems like it's $100 more than the previous year, or maybe more. It's been several years since I kept track, but it seems like in the past it was maybe, I don't know, I think that's what it used to be. It seems like every time they've launched a new one, it was $100 more until what? So is it over $1,000 now? I don't know. I'm not sure what it is. But just with all this technology stuff, you know, okay, this phone, my phone only has one camera. Now there's phones with three lenses, three cameras. I've got to get a new one. This is so outdated. I mean, someone was just talking the other day about looking at some, we had some pictures on a disc at the house, and they were looking at it and seeing at a Christmas, what was it, maybe like 12 years ago, all the people sitting there, a lot of people had cameras. And they said, you don't see that now. What do people have? Usually phones. They don't have cameras. And I just said, I made the comment about, yeah, someday little children are going to see a picture like that and say, what are those? What are those black things that people are holding, those black boxes? Well, what are they? Cameras? Why didn't they just use their phone? They didn't have cameras and phones back then. Nobody would even thought of it. In fact, the first time I heard that a cell phone had a camera in it, I thought, why? Now, it's like the furnace man comes to look at our furnace. Does he write down anything? No, he just gets out his phone and takes a picture of it. So it's a way of life now. But just all this technology, this new gadgets galore and improvement, it's like it's so easy to be covetous. It's like I asked Brother Wall one time, I said, how do the Haitian people ever buy cell phones? I mean, they're so poor, they are dirt poor. And he says, you know what? What they want, what they really want, they get. They'll sell a goat. And I'm thinking, but who are they going to call? I mean, if you're the first one in the village to have a cell phone, who are you going to talk to? But you know what? They're walking around with cell phones, just like in Papua New Guinea, where the Helzerman's over there. It's like they all walk around with cell phones in their hands, just like here. It's no different the world over. It's more of a sacrifice to them to get a cell phone, but they make the sacrifice. But in Exodus 20, verse 17, the Bible says, thou shalt not what? Covet. And he gives examples. Thou shalt not covet what? Thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet what? Thy neighbor's wife, nor his what? His manservant, nor what? His maidservant, nor what? His ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So, but as the end times come, more and more we're going to see this tremendous covetousness. And what's the end of it all? In closing, let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. The world is filled with covetousness, but how long do those things last? How long do they last? 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither what? The things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, which is covetousness, all those things, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world, what? Passeth away. How many of you still have your original cell phone? Okay, all right. You get the prize tonight. I don't know what the prize is, but you get it. Okay. It's like the world passeth away. Things broke, they get outdated. And the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God, what? Abideth forever. So all these things pass away. All this technology, it's just outdated so quickly. And so may the Lord help us. And we didn't get very far through the list tonight. But these are all things the Lord says are going to happen in the last days. And because of these things, perilous times are going to come. So once again, you know, should we walk around fearful? No. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, 1 John 4:4. But let's pray to the Lord to rebuke the devil. It isn't us and our words telling him where to go. And may the Lord help us. We too can get carried away in the fierceness. I have a hard time getting too much into sports because if I really allow myself to get into it, the other team becomes the enemy. And it really bothered me when we were playing other Christians and then we get into this. So I'm not too much of a competitive person because of that. I don't care if you keep score or not. I just like to play the game. And I know some people are not like that. It's like, hey, it's no fun if you're not going to keep score. Well, do what you have to do, okay? But I don't like the way I become when I get competitive, thinking of other people that way, that they're the enemy. To me, it's hard to reconcile being spiritual and going that far with a competitive nature. So I don't like to do that. But we just need to focus on the Lord. Time is short. We see these things happening. Let's give our all to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. He left the glory of heaven to come to this earth, humbled himself, became a man through a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect sinless life, and died on the cross bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. Was buried and rose again victorious. Lord, I think of the suffering and the shame, the spitting, the pain you suffered for us. Lord, help us, because the more fierce things become, it could get that way with us. It could get painful, the persecution. So Lord, help us to look to you. Lord, help us not to be afraid, but to be encouraged that you told us ahead of time these things were coming. And help us to realize the day of our redemption draweth nigh. Help us to be faithful. We pray in Jesus' name.